Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a major airline is dropping one of its fees. Poof, gone away. And if you are concerned about terrorism in Europe, just know that your travel insurance may not cover you.
At 3:20, reporter Chris Galloway checks in with an update on a visit to a forbidden island in the Hawaiian island chain.
If you like music, particularly singing, do not miss the update on Sacramento Sings at 3:25.
Gwen Duncan is here at 3:35 to tell us about Hidden City and back-to-back tickets and how they can make or break your next trip.
Speaking of unusual airline tickets, the way fares are created and charged is a subject of much current uproar among business and frequent flyers. Consumer advocate Ed Perkins is here at 3:40 to talk about the issue.
Finally, at 3:50, we are joined by Richard Lewis, grand poobah of many things theatrical here in Sacramento, for an update on his push for a new theater.
Wow, lots of headlines. Barely time for the show. It's Sunday afternoon, little after 3 o'clock. Must be time for the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Indeed, another edition of the Travel Guys is here. I am Mark Hoffman. Alongside me is Clayton Whitehead. Tom Romano is...
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, there is. As Clayton sits here with a box of Kleenex and cough drops, we barely scraped together two Travel Guys for you here today. How are you, Mr. Whitehead?
I am good. I'm holding it together.
And that's all that really matters, is at least as well as the people who are trying to get through town on Business 80 right now as we look out the window.
Yes, quite a backup.
Today's Sunday. I spent the first half of my weekend heading down to Pleasanton. You know where Pleasanton is?
Pleasanton is south of here.
Well, it's kind of like over in the Hayward area. Hayward, Dublin, kind of south of Oakland. Before, you know, if you're going to San Jose from Oakland, then you would almost not quite go through Pleasanton. The freeway goes through Pleasanton.
That's an extremely clear description.
Yeah,
it
is. I
see it perfectly.
Anyways, they have a lovely farmer's market down there, a very nice farmer's market. It's a small one. It's about two blocks long, and I went last summer for the first time, and I thought, wouldn't that be a nice place to take a group to sometime on a trip? And so I've put together a Lincoln Highway tour, a trip, day trip in early June, and we're going down, visit the Pleasanton Farmers Market, and then we're going to an old garage in Livermore, and then we're going to an old place called Castle Rock, which is a restaurant that a man built out of rocks that he collected in Livermore.
Well, it sounds like it's aptly named.
Yeah, Castle Rock. So anyways, that's the way
I started the week in our nation's capital.
Yeah, and you were a long ways from home.
Yeah, I'll just say that when you see on television, on the Weather Channel or whatever, they're talking of Arctic blasts on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Wow. We had an Arctic blast in Washington, D.C.
You lived through one.
One morning we went out and it was 27 degrees in mid-April.
Uh-huh. Well, my figure skating group the week before was in Boston, and the day we were scheduled to leave, it was snowing all over the place. So.
And it snowed all day in D.C. last Saturday.
Wow.
Too cold, or rather too warm for anything to stick, but still very very alarming to watch the snow come down on the cherry blossoms.
Did you guys have a good time? I know some of your folks got to tour the White House.
We did have an amazing time, and I want to give a shout out to each and every member of the group for just holding it all together despite the cold. I tell you, there was a Macy's just down the street from our hotel. They did a very brisk business
of very people brisk. Who can't come to town without being prepared for the
every
weather.
Every day we trailed down there and, oh, I think I'll have another jacket, another sweater.
Reminds me of a time I went to New York City years ago with a friend, and we got to New York City. We were there to check out a Sports Leisure tour, and it was 30 degrees. The wind was blowing, and the first stop was, again, Macy's to get gloves and scarves and all the things that people from the West Coast don't often have as part of their travel repertoire. I mean, in some cases, we own these things, and if we know we're going to someplace and we know it's going to be cold, we pack them and take them with us. But if you get caught by a blitz of weather, let's face it, it doesn't turn 35 degrees in Sacramento unexpectedly for 24 hours very often. In fact, I can't think of never. You usually know it's coming if it's coming here.
You know, I get that, but then I would have said the same thing about Washington, D.C. in April. I mean, I heard that the Arctic blast was coming.
Uh-huh.
I took a long sleeve shirt. Uh-huh. I didn't know it was going to last 7 days.
You didn't pay any attention to the weatherman, obviously.
I paid attention. I just didn't believe
it. All right, let's get on with the travel news here and get the Travel Guys rolling for a Sunday. Let's see here. What do we got? All right, we started off with the headlines of Delta Airlines is the major airline that's dropping a booking fee, Mr. Clayton. They have decided that, you know, they made $1 billion last quarter. B, as in that's it, with a billion with a B. Anyway, Delta has decided that one of their onerous fees can be eliminated, and that is the fee to buy a ticket online or on the phone, on the phone or in person, $25 or $35 respectively, has now been taken away.
Good for Delta, good Georgia company.
Well, and
well, hey, I'm from Georgia. We have to celebrate our own.
Chris Elliott's headline on his website this morning says, "Is this the beginning of the end of airline fees?" So he's dreaming a little bit, I think, but hoping that perhaps this is a trend. It does put the other airlines, which tend to be very competitive with each other, in a pretty precarious situation, because now if you're Delta, if you're American and United, that's a significant difference in the price of an airline ticket now. If you have to book it. And let's face it, not everybody has a computer or is capable of booking, or some airline tickets are complicated and you need someone to help you with it. So anyway, kudos, I guess, for Delta, because that's one less fee that a very small number of their travelers have to pay. At least it's good news in that department. U.S. senators have voted to bolster airport security in the most recent edition of the FAA bill. We've talked about this a few times on the air. It's the bill to authorize the airports and our air control system in the country to keep operating, and it has a lot of other little tentacles on it. So the senators have added a rider to the bill that will help boost travel security, particularly in airports. And speaking of senators calling for things, the U.S. senator from New Jersey, and his last name is Menendez, and I am forgetting his first name, Robert Menendez, has started an investigation on airfares. We're going to have Ed Perkins on in the second half of the show, Clayton, to talk about the fact that it used to be you went online, you bought an air ticket between three cities, kind of what we called a circle trip. And as long as there were no real abnormalities in it, why, the ticket usually added up to the sum of the one-way ticket fares. But that's not happening anymore. And so Ed is going to join us after the bottom of the hour. And one of our United States senators now has asked for a probe to find out why it is that suddenly taking these circle trips will cost you three times as much as if you bought all of the tickets one way. Of course, that means that you have to pay more if you decide to cancel a trip.
Right.
So, okay, Starbucks. This is a travel program. And Starbucks has made changes to their frequent guests, I guess you'd call it, program. Because I mention this only because lots of people when they travel, you know this, lots of people when they travel, they look for Starbucks just about every place they can find one. People who like Starbucks at home like Starbucks when they travel. They changed their frequent guest program, which meant that instead, it used to be if you bought 12 $2 regular cups of coffee, you could reach an award level. And now that's $24. Now it costs $62 to get to the same level.
I don't think they have anything at Starbucks for only $2.
Well, they do. They used to, or at least a regular cup of coffee, just a black cup of coffee without any froyo or anything in it. And so, anyways, Starbucks has announced that there was a lot of pushback on this redesign of their frequent guest program, and a lot of people are not happy about it, because in order to reach the level of to get discounts and extra points and lots of yummy things from Starbucks, you have to make a lot of visits. So Starbucks has announced, if you are a Starbucks fan, you probably already know this, but if you're not a Starbucks fan and you're only an occasional Starbucks visitor, you need to make a visit before May the 2nd if you belong to the Starbucks reward program, because then you will be granted the gold level with just one visit.
Wow.
If you're a Starbucks geek, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I am not, so I don't.
Hey, newsflash, you can get a cup of coffee at McDonald's for just a dollar.
Uh-huh. Nobody will ever call you cheap. Frugal,
but thrifty.
Never cheap. Here's a summer airport headline, and there's more news about this at TravelGuysRadio.com. You are likely to face longer queue lines at the airport. The TSA has not hired any new people since last year. They are down a little bit in staffing. There are more people traveling. There are more flights. And fewer people have signed up for the TSA pre-check than they predicted would. The reason that's important is because those people zip through security much faster, so they tend not to clog up the line. So,
but I'm sure you've witnessed, as I have, that very often the TSA pre-check line is four or five times longer than the normal line.
It can be when the lines are short sometimes, but sometimes the TSA is good about acknowledging that and shifting staff, and sometimes they're not, but still I don't have to take my shoes and my belt off and get practically disrobed in line, so I'm okay with it.
Okay.
It means if you're going to the airport this summer, whether you've got pre-check or not, and we talk about this frequently on this program, if you're not allowing yourself a few extra minutes to get through security, then you're doing yourself a huge, huge, huge disservice. Okay, some folks are finding that their travel insurance is not covering them if they wish to cancel because of the recent bombings in Belgium and the terrorist attacks in Paris last fall. Some folks have gotten a little bit of stage fright and decided that they don't want to go to Europe this year. Some of the European cruise lines' travel insurance policies do not cover terrorism. I strongly suggest to you that if you have already scheduled a trip, and a trip this summer, and you have purchased travel protection on any level from somebody, that you check to find out what the coverage is in relation to terrorism. If there is an event, can you cancel? If you decide that you're just uncomfortable, can you cancel because of that? That would kind of fall under cancel for any reason. So some folks are finding that their insurance is not covering this, and the later that you wait to find out, the more the penalties might be if you decide that you do not want to go. So if you have scheduled a trip to Europe for this summer particularly, and you've got any apprehensions about the terrorist situation, look into your policy, find out what the limitations are so that you don't try to cancel one day after the non-penalty period has expired. And finally, last item in the news today, Fathom, which is the new cruise ship from Carnival, which is going to do the cruises to Cuba, is doing a few dry run cruises to the Dominican Republic before they go down to Cuba, and their first cruise was canceled. That in itself is not particular news. Their customers were already on site. It was some sort of mechanical thing. But they have page after page after page of Facebook posts and Twitter posts from folks who were on the cruise complimenting the cruise line for how they handled the cancellation and how they put people up and how they got them back home and how they've refunded their money. Some people finding that the money was already in their credit back and posted to their credit card the next day. So it's a good service story, and kudos to Carnival Cruise Line. The first Cuba cruise is going to sail in early May, and no delays are reported on that. And that is your travel news for today. Coming up after we take a quick break here, we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Chris Galloway from Hawaii. We're going to tell you about some great musical concerts in Sacramento. Sacramento Sings, and Gwen Duncan is joining us to talk about airline tickets. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. Hi, I'm Clayton Whitehead sitting in for Tom Romano today. On my left, Mark Hoffman. And Mark, I think we have a caller on the phone.
We do. Our next guest, Clayton, is waiting for us on the telephone. He's calling us all the way from Hawaii. Is Chris Galloway. Good afternoon, Mr. Galloway.
Hello there.
Is it afternoon in Hawaii already?
It is. It's about 12:20.
And how's everything in Hawaii today?
Oh, it's about 77 degrees and a light breeze. You wouldn't like this at all. I mean, there's no variety. It's pretty much like this every day.
Clayton knows this, but Mr. Galloway is on. This is a trip that generally we do together. Listen, Chris, yesterday, quickly, you did you made an excursion over to Molokai yesterday, to some place that we have never taken people, a part of that island, and dare I say it's likely that 99% of the folks who have visited Hawaii, no matter how many times, have never been there, to Father Damien's old leper colony there on Molokai. Tell me about it.
Well, we flew into Kalaupapa National Historical Monument. It's just a fantastic experience. The flight alone is gorgeous. As you hook around the eastern corner of the island and fly along the northern coast, you get some absolutely beautiful scenery. But once you're on the ground there, I said this before and I'll say it again, you know you're somewhere special. There is just something about it. Initially, you see it, and it doesn't look unlike any other small Hawaiian town, you know, homes and that sort of thing. But as you start to learn the stories of the residents that live there and learn the history of what took place there, it really does come alive. There's a real spirit there.
Chris, did you get to meet some of the folks? There are still some residents there who were part of the settlement there, right?
That's correct. There are 14 that are still living. 8 of those residents still live in the settlement itself. We did meet one gentleman, works at the bookstore. His name is Boogie. And, you wouldn't know. And if he had not told us, if we were not made aware of it, you would have no idea. he's just like another human being.
Yeah. So what? So that's going to close down soon. When those folks are gone, what's going to happen to that site there at Kalaupapa?
You know, I'm not sure about that, because the company that issues the licensing to go in, it's by permit only.
Mm-hmm.
That company is actually run by a lady that is one of the residents.
I see.
So it's kind of up in the air, but it is a national park. The National Park Service is there. So I imagine that it'll probably just be absorbed and then maybe be opened up for tours.
Now, we should tell people that your group got there on a private chartered airplane flight from the island of Maui by special arrangement. It is possible, though, the public can visit Kalaupapa. You can make reservations and make that plane flight yourself, so you don't have to. The point is, the only way to get there is not that grueling mule ride anymore. Chris, any quickly here in 20 seconds or less, anything, any comments from your folks or any impressions from them on the visit?
You know, I think everybody was just really kind of touched by Father Damien's story. It's unwavering compassion and devotion. And once you hear the sacrifices that this man made for these people at a time when no one knew anything about the disease, he really put himself in harm's way. And it is eventually what took his life. But just to hear that, it makes you want to be a better person.
Truly an opportunity to mix a life experience in with travel, which I think is what people like to do a lot today. Chris Galloway,
absolutely,
all the way from Maui, and talking about the island of Molokai. Have a great rest of your trip, Chris. We'll see you back in Sacramento soon.
All right, you guys take care.
All righty, Chris Galloway. Let's shift gears here, Mr. Clayton. You know, I know you were involved in a singing group when you were back in Georgia. You used to be a part of it.
Yes. Oh, gosh. So many. Barbershop singing with the Big Chicken Chorus in Atlanta, which doesn't sound serious, but was. We were national contenders on numerous occasions. I've sung all my life. High school chorus, men's
glee
club. So
these major choruses, men and women and co-ed, are all over the country. I mean, literally.
Absolutely. It's a huge movement. I mean, not only is it a great way to produce art, you know, to make music, but it's also an extremely social organization.
Well, we have got a major concert coming up in Sacramento next weekend. Four of them, actually, concerts coming up next weekend. And here's our best opportunity to tell you about it. We are all about entertainment today. A little later on in the program, Richard Lewis is going to join us. But right now we have Dick Franzreb, who is the executive director of Sacramento Sings, the Sacramento Choral Festival, which is coming up in about a week. And Dick is here to tell us all about it. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Dick.
Great. Thanks. Thanks a lot, both of you. Yeah, this is our big event, the third annual Sac Sings, and it's going to take place next weekend, April 23rd and 24th, afternoon and evening concerts at Sacramento City College in their nice new Performing Arts Center.
Dick, I think we have a sample of the music that we're going to be hearing.
Okay, let her go.
They're pretty nice, huh, Mark?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of variety there, Dick.
Yeah, indeed. Those were four of our 20 choruses from all over the Sacramento area. We're going to have nearly 900 singers at this event. There are actually four concerts, afternoon and evening, on both days. And people can just go to our website, which is sacsings.org, and there's guidance there for how to get the tickets. They're $20 and $25, and they're selling fast.
Dick, this is the third year that you've done this event. Give us a highlight. What's something that you're looking forward to from the first 2 years that now, as it's coming back for the third year, that you're really looking forward to seeing again or perhaps seeing for the first time?
Well, we love the idea of introducing Sacramento audiences to a variety of choruses. Those four that you heard were all very different, as you could tell. And we're going to have more variety this year. Out of the 20 choruses, seven have not participated before. And so we're looking to hear them, and what I love is to hear the feedback from the audience, the excitement that they have when they hear something wonderful that they had no idea existed.
Sac Sings is the third annual, is next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. You can go to travelguysradio.com. We have a link to the website there and get your tickets. Dick says get them soon. Thanks, Dick, for joining us on the Travel Guys today. Good luck with the concerts.
Thanks, both of you.
That's going to be a big concert, Mr. Clayton, I would say.
And that new Performing Arts Center down at Sac City is amazing.
Really?
It's probably our best venue in town right now.
No kidding.
Really, so, really a fine venue. And this looks like an exciting event.
All righty. Travelguysradio.com, you can find a link. A couple of quick announcements here. Ramona Gu just asked me to remind folks that next week, because of the National Park Centennial, admission to all of our national park sites in the country is free. Sports Leisure Vacations is offering a trip to the De Young Museum to see the work of Oscar De La Renta. It's on Wednesday, May the 25th. $103 includes your admission and the guided tour thing that you put around your necky there, self-guided, what do they call that thing?
An audio wand.
Audio, yeah, that's what
they call
it.
Do you get cologne as well?
No, you do not. Anyway, call Sports Leisure Vacations at 361-TOUR if you'd like to be a part of that. And the Mira Loma Alumni and Friends is offering a special historical opportunity to visit part of Old Sacramento. You don't have to be part of their group. You can sign up to be part of this. It's a tour of underground Sacramento, underground and above ground, actually, tour of both. It takes place on Saturday, May the 14th. You can go to their website to sign up at Mira Loma Alumni and Friends, or you can find a link to it at travelguysradio.com. When we come back after the news, we will speak with Gwen Duncan and Ed Perkins about how airfares have seemingly gone funny in the last few months. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
If you welcome back to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. In for Tom Romano, I'm Clayton Whitehead. And next to me...
Indeed, you are Clayton Whitehead. I am Mark Hoffman.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
How are you?
I am on your left.
I couldn't... I was confused.
Yeah, that's okay.
Never take directions from a tour guide because we spend all of our time facing backwards.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And never say on anything about the left in this particular radio. Well, never mind. Anyways, we have guests lined up here to talk to us. So we have not a moment to spare. Next up on the Travel Guys is Gwen Duncan. Gwen joins us every couple of weeks to tell us about a good deal that she's found somewhere. She is the owner of Cordially Yours Travel, or just to help make you a smarter traveler, which is one of our goals here on the Travel Guys, is not to get too full of ourselves, but just to help you kind of negotiate things. Like I was listening, Clayton, to that thing about the airport parking and the I-5 out there and getting into the airport and stuff like that.
Yeah, I breathed a sigh of relief that ends at 4 a.m. Thursday morning, and I fly out on Friday.
And you fly out on Friday, and it starts on Tuesday morning, and I fly out on Monday. So we both dodged a bullet there. Gwen Duncan, good afternoon to you.
Well, good afternoon, you guys.
Hey.
I know we're limited on time, and you want to talk about hidden city ticketing?
I do. I want to help our people who listen to this show a lot. A lot of them are casual travelers. Some of them are very frequent travelers. So when we talk about a couple of these terms, one of them is hidden city tickets, and the other one's a thing called back-to-back ticketing. And I just want people to maybe kind of understand a little bit of what we're talking about. Can you help us with that?
Oh, I sure can. Now, a hidden city ticket, it means, and this really works best for a one-way ticket, it's when you buy a ticket, let's say it's Albuquerque to New Orleans.
Okay.
And there is a stop in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Your ultimate destination is in your mind is Houston, but it's cheaper to buy the ticket all the way to New Orleans and then just get out at Houston.
Now, why would it be cheaper to fly half the distance?
Because the airlines gather, you know, they make their price based on the popular destinations, and they can fill their plane pretty good to go all the way to New Orleans. So it costs more if you get off at Houston, and fewer people from Houston are expected to get on and want to go the rest of the way. So they charge usually more for the one-way ticket.
So a hidden city ticket is someplace where you're not actually going to the city that you're ticketed to.
That's right.
Because
that's
it's cheaper trip. To get off. It's cheaper to get off along the way. Now, what happens if you checked a bag?
You can't do that.
You can't do that. So this is for you have to. This is for people who are carrying their luggage on. This
that's
is
right.
why, Gwen. This is why it's so popular for people who are flying to Milwaukee. To Chicago from Sacramento, and it's $400 one way. But you can fly from Sacramento to Milwaukee for $250 one way through Chicago. They fly to Chicago, get off the plane, and walk out the door.
That's exactly right. Now there are some risks. One is if your intention is to stop into a city that has frequent weather problems or something.
Like Chicago.
That way. Yeah, and then the other one is frequent flyer miles. If they get on the hint that that you're doing this and they consider it a violation, it's not against the law, but they can take away your frequent flyer.
It's a violation of your contract with the airline. Now, back-to-back ticketing, that's a little more complicated.
Yes, it is. And it really is more affiliated with business travel. When you want to go in on Monday and come back maybe Monday night or Tuesday, and the best discounted tickets are for either a stay over or staying a minimum of 3 days or 7 days or whatever. And so what you do is you buy two round-trip tickets. If you did it, went in the morning and came back that night or the next day, business travelers were really getting hit by exorbitant prices. And I had seen prices as much inside of 7 days as $1,700. So if you bought one round-trip ticket that said you were coming back next week, and then you bought another one, returned the time that you plan on leaving that destination, and maybe 7 days later, you only take the first part of each ticket.
So you throw away, in essence, parts of two tickets.
Yes.
In order to...
Yeah, and then you get the discounted rate or the promotional rate on the air ticketing.
But if your flight gets... Yes, Clayton.
Gwen, is this necessarily on the same airline, or does it need to be different airlines? I mean, are they doing checks and balances on you?
Actually, if you did it on separate airlines, then you wouldn't have so much of a problem with your frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And frequently, that's what people do. And Gwen, I'm going to let you go. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, thank you very much for joining us on the Travel Guys, because I'm going to shift gears over to Ed Perkins. Because, Ed, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi,
because Ed is an expert on all of these sorts of things, and we're talking about back-to-back and hidden city ticketing and stuff like that. And this was even more in vogue, Ed, over the last couple of months here, as frequent travelers have had to deal with what seemed to be a conspiracy by the airlines.
Yeah, they, for some reason, they tell you if you want to make a two-city trip, well, use our handy-dandy multiple stops search system.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, and go from point A to point B to point C and then back to point A,
yep,
it turns out that what they were doing were pricing those intermediate legs at full fare rather than at the reduced excursion fare that you could get if you just priced them one way. And nobody could figure out why they did this. I first reported on it 2 weeks ago, and the last two or three days it's gotten really, really big on the Internet. And I have heard some rumblings that the airlines are finally going to say, hey, wait a minute, we goofed.
It appears, Ed, as of this, I mean, literally yesterday afternoon, I did, in preparation for this interview, I did a couple of searches. I did a circle ticket, Sacramento, Chicago, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C., back to Sacramento. So in essence, three one-way legs together. When I priced them yesterday, they priced at $1,870. Today, they priced the same exact flights at the same times, prices at $752. So that's over $1,000 difference. Priced another one from Sacramento to, I wanted to pick a secondary city, so I picked Sacramento, Paducah, Paducah, Miami, Miami, Sacramento. Today it prices at $1,004. Yesterday it priced at $2,271. So it appears as though the airlines, now, but they did this. You and I talked about this before. Isn't it amazing that all three of them came up with this pricing strategy on exactly the same day?
Yeah, on exactly the same day. And they say, oh, do we collude? Of course not. Well, you know, if you believe that, I've got a couple bridges.
Well, and aren't they already in trouble for in essence, I'll call it fare fixing, for lack of a better term, in recent times. So now this comes up, and this is costing people a lot of money. I mean, anywhere from, I had a ticket that I was coming home from Duluth the first part of June that I had to buy a couple weeks ago. So I found out that if I bought the ticket from Duluth to Chicago, it was $110. From Chicago to Sacramento was $300 for a total of a little over $400.
Yeah.
If I bought the ticket from Duluth to Chicago to Sacramento, it was $1,100. So
So I ended up having to buy 2 one-way tickets, which, of course, if anything happens and I can't go, now I'm in double jeopardy for cancellation fees. Would be $400 to change those tickets instead of just the ridiculous $200 to start with. Ed, what's a traveler to do?
The only thing I can suggest with any of these things is to regularly visit a number of websites or get on the listing for automatic emails. The outfit I work with, smartertravel.com, has them. There's dozens of others that alert you to things like this, both to problem areas like the one we've been talking about or to opportunities like the fact that last week a couple of airlines were selling round trips from California to New Zealand for something like $400.
Wow. Well, was this just a computer error, or was it an actual sale? Or
The people who report on this really don't know. Huh. If it's an error, of course, the airline contracts now generally allow them to refuse to honor a ticket that they say was posted in error.
Yep.
But as far as I've heard so far, none of those really cheap trips to New Zealand have been canceled on the basis of a ticket error. So it may have been somebody decided, hey, we got to fill up a whole bunch of seats and we'll sell them real cheap.
Wow. Wow. That is really fascinating. Ed, we had Gwen on here talking about hidden city tickets and back-to-back ticketing. Those are a couple of old-time strategies that frequent flyers use on an occasional basis. Generally, most of us only use them occasionally because we don't want the airline to come in and crack down on it. Isn't it interesting? Gwen said, she says, it's not illegal to do this, but if it's a violation of your agreement with the airline, so they may step in and take away all of your frequent flyer miles at some point.
Yeah. By the way, I can't let this go without telling you my favorite hidden city story.
Okay.
Really a true one. A guy wanted to fly from Chicago to Dallas, but he found a much better hidden city fare to Los Angeles by way of Dallas. So he checks into his flight in Chicago, and the clerk said, well, the bad news is your flight to Dallas is canceled. The good news is we've got you on a nonstop.
And that is one of the dangers of hidden city ticketing, is that if anything goes wrong and they don't send you to the city that you're getting off at, why then, if they send you directly, as in this case you're mentioning, and they think they're doing you a favor, why then you've got to somehow figure out how to double back to your hidden city. Ed, Tom is out ill today, but we have decided that June the 26th is going to try to be the day that we're going to come up to Ashland and do the Travel Guys live from up there. So we're really hoping that we can incorporate you into that program that day.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, we're kind of looking forward to it. We'll get one of the theater people from up there to talk to us, and our friend who puts on the Chocolate Festival, and you, and have a live Travel Guys broadcast from Ashland on the 26th of June. So you take care. Have you got any travel coming up yourself?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm driving up to Portland tomorrow to catch a flight to London.
And you're going to be gone how long?
Oh, a couple of weeks.
Wow, wow. All right, well, we'll look forward to talking to you when we get back and getting an update on what the hot things are to do in London. Take care, my friend.
Thank you very much. And what was that date again? I want to put it on my calendar.
26th of June. 25th or 26th, whatever the Sunday is before 4th of July weekend.
Oh, okay. I'll put that on my calendar. Really looking forward to having you guys up here.
Thank you, Ed. Ed Perkins with smartertravel.com, really one of the best websites going. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Richard Lewis in studio, and he's going to tell us what you can do to help improve the theater situation in Sacramento. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. To my left is Mark Hoffman. And on the phone, kind of a semi-regular guest once or twice a year, Richard Lewis, President, CEO, California Musical Theater, Music Circus, and Broadway Sacramento. And welcome to the Travel Guys, Richard.
Well, thank you, as always, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you.
If Richard's title gets any longer, he'll have to have his own program. Hey, my friend, how are you doing?
doing very well, thank you very much. Newsies turned out to be a huge hit, and which is a delightful surprise for us. And now we're looking forward to not only the upcoming Music Circus season, but we still have Motown to go at Broadway Sacramento.
Ah, well, that's outstanding. Clayton and I saw Newsies on Thursday night, and wonderful production. And so congratulations on that. Music Circus will be rearing up soon. But the reason for our conversation today, Richard, is you sent out an email to your subscribers last week asking them to assist you with something, a fairly major project that you tell me has been bubbling around in your mind for a long time. So tell us about it.
Well, it's true. Since around the year 2000, there has been an ongoing discussion related to doing something with the Community Center Theater to really help bring it into the 21st century. And so what we are advocating at this point is a transformation of the existing building, as opposed to a relocation of the theater, which has been advocated by some. But we feel that it is extremely possible to create a signature structure in an iconic location, which will serve to do do for the west end of K Street what the arena has done for the east end, and it will be a major benefit for all of the patrons, with a significant expansion of the lobby spaces, so that we can accommodate actually a significant improvement in our restroom situation.
I'm sure all of the ladies who are listening would appreciate that, even though you've taken some steps in recent years to try to increase the availability of facilities for the ladies. It's still, you're right. The facility, unfortunately, I mean, when it was built and it opened, it was very nice. We all know that it has had its share of acoustical challenges. The space between the rows is very nice, but having to climb over with no center aisle, having to climb over 30 people to get to your seat sometimes is a little bit of a pain. The building has its upsides, precious few of them, and its downsides. So you're right, Richard. It's time for Sacramento to have a legitimate space. I mean, thank goodness to Wells Fargo for helping with that improvement of the Music Circus site. It's hard to believe that for all those years we watched shows in a tent with swamp coolers, and that people actually paid money for that. Now that we have a real facility, so why could we not have another real facility? So, Richard, what is it that people need to do?
Well, people need to go to www.transform916.com, and there they will find a concise overview of the proposal to transform the Community Center Theater, as well as information about how to encourage our elected city council folks and the city staff to support this move. And generally speaking, the city staff and the electeds do support a transformation in the existing location. However, we do also need to deal with the way that this takes place. And that means that we need to have the interior work sequenced in such a fashion that it does not result in a loss of the building itself. Closing the building for 2 years would be extremely harmful, not only to the users of the building, who are primarily nonprofit arts organizations, but in addition, it will be quite damaging to the surrounding businesses that have grown up and have the theater attendance is really part of their revenue projections. We're talking about a hit to city parking. We're talking about unemployment for actually a large number of the union folks that work our shows and the other organization's shows. So
we don't want to do anything with parking right now, because parking is how we're going to pay for the arenas.
Yeah, well, it certainly would you know, we know, for instance, this week with Newsies, we'll have about 18,500 people attending. And so, you know, the bulk of those people are going to drive cars, and they're going to park, and they're going to pay one way or the other.
That's
so
right.
That loss of parking revenue, the surrounding restaurants, the hotels, the parking valets, so there are a lot of negatives to actually shutting the building down, plus the losses to the arts organizations themselves. I don't know that it's possible to recover from that kind of a significant loss. So we're advocating not just for the transformation, but for it to be done in a fashion that does not result in a closure of the building for a two-year period.
Richard, let me ask, you guys have thought this out quite a bit in regards to being able to make the transition. Is there any information in regards to the actual transformation as to what we're going to see in the interior of the building? What type of improvements are the top of your list?
Well, of course, as I've noted, we're talking about a major expansion to the primary lobby space. And by increasing the lobby spaces, then you absolutely have the opportunity to create a significant number of restroom facilities. And in addition, as you've noted, the continental seating that the theater currently has, which results in the long rows, will be completely changed in favor of traditional theater seating.
Richard, I wish you luck as a theater goer in town. I would love to see you have a better facility for the Broadway series and for all of the other events that go on in town. So, folks, you can go to travelguysradio.com. We will have a link to transform916.com there. It's time to make your electeds know, to let them know that you would like to see this happen. It is time to get the ball rolling. Richard, keep up the good work, buddy. Good luck with the Music Circus season.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate the opportunity.
So this is your opportunity to go and make something happen. TravelGuysRadio.com, there's a link there. By the way, I should mention that there are things at TravelGuysRadio.com that we don't mention on the program. So oftentimes I find things that we don't have time to mention anything, but today there's all kinds of fun things there. Like there's an entire chart of what happens, what your rights are if your airline ticket is canceled. If you just went and printed that out, nothing else. There's a little piece on there about flying on North Korea's national airline.
Oh, yeah, I want to go there.
That is really interesting. Congratulations to Richard. He mentioned that Newsies had been such a hit for them. That was really a good show.
It was a fun show.
I mean, it was, the house was full, the crowd, the people were into it. I had no real expectation, but I just thought it was, and I'm not trying to sell tickets for Richard because the last performance is going on as we speak.
Well, it was Disney at its best, but a different sort of Disney. There were no witches. There were nothing magical. Nobody flew. It was a real life show set in 1899, but it was Disney.
And Disney, and the great thing about Disney is that they're, you know, I mean, that movie wasn't all that popular, but the show has been much more popular. Mr. Clayton, you have our Sports Leisure Vacations winner for the week.
We have a winner. Her name is Elizabeth Turnbull, and she was on Springtime in Monterey. Elizabeth, if you are hearing this, and we certainly hope you are, you have until Tuesday afternoon at 4:30 to call the Sports Leisure Vacations offices and claim your $100 gift certificate.
Congratulations to you. If you are a United Airlines traveler, you probably got a very pretty brochure over the last couple of weeks called Miles Ahead, and it talks about the Mileage Plus X app and all the things you can do for it. It is a total, complete scam. Don't fall for it. It has nothing to do. It's not going to make your airline travel any better. Here's what you do with the Miles Ahead brochure from United Airlines.
Hey, I also got a catalog where I can spend like 400 billion miles
make
and get
you
a camera.
Smarter traveler as we speak. Everything you find on our show today can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thanks to the folks at Sports Leisure Vacations.